Repair Show, starring Jim Babka. Maybe your mother told you never talk politics and religion in polite company. Well, Jim Babka's mother never told him that. So come on, enjoy the forbidden pleasure. You can participate in the conversation at 1-800-259-9231. Today's show is sponsored by Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. And now, here's Jim.
Well, it's Sunday again, and another edition of the Culture Repair Show. And it's usually at this point in the show that I would give you the phone number and tell you to call or the email. But I'm not going to do that today, because I'm not here. I am not taking the time off. I am in Illinois. In fact, I'm probably on my way back, as you're listening to this, back home, hopefully in time to catch the Sunday night Browns-Steelers game. But I am away right now. I have been giving a speech, not taking time off. I was giving a speech earlier today, and so you'll be able to get this show, a brand new episode, and we've got a great guest here today that I'm going to be very excited to announce, and he's going to be telling us all kinds of things. In fact, I expect to get quite an education out of him about gold in particular. Before we get to that, when we wrapped up the show last week, we were talking about ballot issues that were on here in the state of Ohio and a couple other places around the country. Well, I have an update for you. And those ballot issues were important because I think they set the stage for what is coming in a whole bunch of states where there's maybe some sour grapes because one side or the other didn't get what they wanted. And there was an attempt to put in a whole slew of things. There were, in Ohio, it was issues 2 through 5, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we spoke particularly about issue 3, which was a campaign finance regulation designed to reduce the amount that you could give to a candidate. And this is always sold in some way as a way to get the benefit or the influence of money out of politics. They're cleaning up politics when they say this. Well, what people don't realize is that when this procedure is put into place, when contributions are limited, that incumbents are always at the advantage, okay? They've got a whole host of perks of office. They start out with a very big megaphone. They get more press conference and they're regularly interviewed. They have better name recognition and they've spoken at your church or your union hall or your civic group or your neighborhood coffee or wherever. They have free mailing privileges called the Frank, and they send you newsletters telling you what a great job that they're doing. They get to cut the ribbon on various projects, Chris and Chips, and they're on the front page and the front line and the photos in the paper when these things happen. They get invited to corporate gatherings and they give speeches. And when your elderly aunt has a problem with her Social Security or Medicare, they have staff paid for by you to help solve that problem. If you want a vacation in Washington, D.C., they arrange for guided tours using their staff of the Capitol, or they get you a pass to get the better tour at the White House. And they've got a website, again, at taxpayer expense. It tells you that they're bringing home the bacon. And because of the power of their office, people line up to give them checks. Now, when contributions are limited, you need to understand this. The game is that you have to get more of them. But for challengers, that process is like filling up a swimming pool with a teaspoon. Well, I'm pleased to report that here in Ohio, Issue 3 went down to defeat. There are no new limits on campaign contributions here. And Issues 2, 4, and 5 all went down to defeat. And everybody actually was stunned that they went down to defeat. We don't have a lot of time to go through those. I talked about what those were at the end of last week's show, but I wanted to give you that update and let you know. And I just want you to really don't buy into this rhetoric that somehow or other they're cleaning up politics by getting money out. We also will, in a later segment, have a GOA update because this show is sponsored by Gun Owners of America. But I am very eager to get to our guest. He's a very special guest. In fact, today I kind of feel like the boss is listening because, well, he is. He is the owner of the Genesis Communications Network, the network on which you're listening to this show, GCNLive.com. And his name is Ted Anderson. And he's going to be talking to us about gold in particular. And I'm pleased to welcome Ted Anderson to the Culture Repair Show. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, that's good. It's great to have a show like yours on air because, you know, you're right there in Washington, D.C. You're looking at what's going on. You're following it. You're actually making an impact. You know, there's a lot of really good programming on the Genesis Network, but here we know we have really are finger right on the pulse, and that's what I really appreciate about the show.
Well, thank you very much. Ted, I'm kind of curious. We're going to talk quite a bit about gold through most of the show, but I have some radio questions for you, if you don't mind. How did you get into the radio business?
Well, it started out, I've been in the precious metals business since 1980. It's been 25 years now that I've been doing this. We're advertising on the radio and happened to become involved with a few different shows that were doing their thing and developed them into what started to become the Genesis Communications Network. We started this in about 1997. Just through developing, there's a few networks that have come and gone since then, and we've been able to reap the benefits of taking on some really great shows. I know yourself and Harry Brown, and there's been a long list of them. The reason why I got into the market to start with, the radio business, was because it had been my advertising arm. But then I got into the precious metals business because I knew that this country needed something a little bit more than this fiat paper currency we call the Federal Reserve note.
That's kind of like the old commercial, you liked it so much you bought the company, huh?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Well, and it's developing into something really great. I mean, we've penetrated over 150 markets out there, AM and FMs. We've got a whole campaign of individuals that like to broadcast our programs, and the internet numbers are just skyrocketing. We're blowing doors off of CBS and ABC affiliates, and I think it's just great that we do this.
It's fantastic, and you know, I've listened to some of your programming as well. I tune in to Alex when I can, and Free Talk Live with Ian and the guys, and you mentioned Harry. So I mean, there is some really good, unique programming, and you're providing some programming that's kind of. I'm trying to find the right word. What distinguishes your programming? How would you put it?
Well, I really think we're an island in amongst a desert. We are an oasis. We have programming that actually is willing to stand up. We're not going to limit ourselves to what could be politically correct and put it on air. We are willing to cover just about any issue that's out there. There's no question about it. People can vouch for this. The Genesis Communications Network simply does not edit, we're not sitting back here telling people what they have to say and what they can say on the air. With short of profanity, this network is the real news. I mean, we're going to give it to you. People come to listen to the Genesis Network because they want to hear what's really going on. They're tired of hearing the rhetoric from the mainstream that, you know, there's just too much cover-up. There's too much tiptoeing around, too many eggshells to walk on. The Genesis Communications Network just breaks through all that stuff and says, okay, here's what it really is. And that's why you hear it. You know, you got a lot of people that listen to Alex Jones because Alex Jones is willing to take on the President of the United States, whether if it's a Republican or a Democrat, don't matter. Same with the Power Hour. Same with pretty much all the programming that we have on here. I mean, we're certainly what I consider an oasis in a desert, and people come to the Genesis Communications Network simply because they just don't get that kind of information elsewhere.
An oasis in the desert or poop in the punch bowl, depending on your perspective. Yeah. I really appreciate what the muckraking this network does and the opportunity to be a part of it. So thank you, Ted.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and I'm glad you're aboard.
Well, now that we've gotten that out of the way, our main topic today is gold. Why is gold so important?
Well, that's simple. I just touched on that when I was talking about why I got into the market to start with. The gold market is certainly a much better option than the paper currency that we have right now. Obviously the paper currency was developed from gold in the first place.
Okay, and as we go forward, we're going to be talking about gold and getting some specific questions to you. But I believe you have you want to promote gold and you sell gold, and I want to give you the opportunity to tell folks what about a free book that they can get.
Yep, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. That's called the Oh Yeah Book, and you got to listen to this one. It's really great.
Okay, so we're gonna give you that number here coming up in a next segment. Let you know how you can get a hold of that book, and we're gonna get some questions in and learn about gold. I'm actually looking forward to this because even though I've tried to research these issues, I don't fully understand them. So I'm gonna be giving Ted some questions, and I hope you'll enjoy learning from it too. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Larry Pratt's latest book is now available. On the Firing Line, Essays in the Defense of Liberty can be purchased from Gun Owners of America for only $18 plus shipping and handling. On the Firing Line is a collection of essays that GOA's Executive Director Larry Pratt has written over the last few years. They were composed in the battle to defend the right to keep and bear arms, as well as the rest of our liberties protected in the Bill of Rights. Pratt has taken on the arguments used by the enemies of freedom who would disarm and subjugate Americans. Pratt shows that the debate transcends firearms because the debate is really about control. Who will control the lives of private citizens? Will it be each person individually, or will it be the government? You can order your copy of On the Firing Line by going to the GOA website at gunowners.org, or you can call GOA's toll-free number 1-888-886-GUNS. That's 888-886-GUNS.
You're tuned in to Culture Repair with Jim Babka on the GCN Radio Network.
It's 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Culture Repair Show, and I'm your host, Jim Babka. But I am not here today, nor am I a figment of your imagination. We taped this show for you special, a brand new program. I am hopefully right now winging my way back from Illinois, where I gave a speech earlier today. This program, though, is pre-recorded, and I'm very glad to have a guest joining me. It is the owner of the Genesis Communications Network, Mr. Ted Anderson. And when we went to the break, we were talking about gold, and we're going to be talking about gold. Ted, what's the price of gold today?
Well, of course, now you got to remember we are recording this on Thursday, and gold right now is at $4.67, and it's up 90 cents. Silver right now is at $7.74, which is up another 82 cents today. Silver actually being the stronger gainer of the two. The precious metals, you're asking me why gold? Why would a person want to own gold in the first place? What I really have to bring people back to is that why would you want to have paper currency? I mean, that's what we have here in the United States, but the United States was originally designed to have precious metals as money. Back in the days when they were trying to hammer out the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and this kind of thing, there was a big fight between Thomas Jefferson Hamilton. And the reason that one wanted to have a central banking system with a paper currency, and the other was Thomas Jefferson, who wanted to have precious metals. Jefferson won. The United States of America is supposed to be trading gold and silver as currency in commerce. And the United States has been using gold and silver in trade to back its currency all the way up through 1974. Even though Franklin Delano Roosevelt took gold out of the hands of the people in 1933 through the process, you know, the confiscation of gold, the illegalization, and so on and so forth to try to bail out the banks in the 1930s, the United States currency was still backed by gold on a foreign basis at $42. Actually, it was $36 at first, then went to $42 with Nixon. It was Nixon who took us off the gold standard in 1974. So the truth of the matter be told, the United States of America and the citizens of the United States of America were using gold and silver coins as money, as a store of wealth, all the way up through 1974. And if you take a look at a chart on what the United States debt has done since then, and you take a look at the charts of the debt, you take a look at the inflation rate, you take a look at just about anything that has to do with economics, you can see there's just a tremendous boom in debt. And a tremendous boom in the stock market. Everything that just happened right after 1974, when the gold standard was lifted by Nixon, and now we're reaping the havoc because we have way too much debt than we can afford here in this nation. Foreign countries right now are looking at the debt and they're wondering if we're even credible enough to be able to afford to pay the interest on it through taxation. When you can't do that, of course, the Treasury falls short and it has obligations to pay. It has to go to the Federal Reserve System and ask for printed new fresh money. And that's what creates the inflation process, and that's how we lose purchasing power. It's like being taxed or a constant erosion on the value of our portfolios out there.
Well, now, this is something I've discussed on the show before, but I'm going to, and so I want you to understand as I'm asking these questions, I'm just, I'm trying to think for the people that are out there what questions might be coming to their mind right now. First of all, what's backing the current money?
Currently, right now, the only thing that's backing our money at this particular moment is our ability to pay our taxes. The United States government collects taxes through the process. So we all know how we pay taxes, income taxes, whatever kind of tax you can think of. But if not enough taxes are collected, that's when the Federal Reserve System steps in through the Open Market Committee and prints money and gives it to the United States government to spend into the economy. And, of course, that liquefies. It creates more money. Which bids on the goods and services, and the prices go up.
Okay, but as our population grows and as the as businesses grow and new businesses spring up and new products are developed and the economy expands, isn't more money required? Is it more currency required?
There is a that's the process. As long as the economy is growing at the pace that the money supply is growing, you have stagnation or you don't have inflation. It actually stays stable. That is not what happens, you know, that's obviously not what has been happening here in the United States because we've had, you know, continuous inflation ever since the Federal Reserve System was put in place in 1913. The dollar has lost value. Every year there's inflation, whether if it's going to be 2%, 3%, or 10% is the question. Yeah, as long as you continue to provide new goods and services and products to buy, you can increase the money supply to buy those products, but you the way that the gold standard used to work is the mines were introducing new gold into the system, so that was pretty much staying intact by the production of the miners. Now we have a system that's set up where we actually have to borrow it from a banking committee called the Federal Reserve System, and we have to pay that money back even if we've earned. Even if we've earned the money in our paychecks, it doesn't matter because it's actually lent to the system, and then we owe it back. So it's either going to be paid back through our taxation, or it's going to be paid back through the inflation. You know, and we're just going to lose. It's a losing proposition. It's just the way that the system is designed.
Okay. Now, speaking of inflation, I was just coincidentally about an hour before we did the show, I was on the phone with one of the people I work with, and we were talking about I've relocated from a high expense area to a low expense area. I got out of a very expensive neighborhood and a very expensive economy and moved to one that was a lot more stable and where the cost of living was supposedly lower. And I'm noticing that the same amount of money that I made 4 or 5 years ago is not covering anywhere near what it covered 4 or 5 years ago, even though I'm in a supposedly lower cost of living market. Now, I watch the news and I hear the president talk and so forth, and to hear everybody talk about it, inflation is next to nothing and completely under control. Why is my purchasing power seem to be disappearing?
Well, you know, the inflation isn't next to nothing. It is showing up right now, and you are losing purchasing power. I mean, you can find that right at the gas pump. Right now, it's $2.19 a gallon. I mean, it seemed to me just a couple of years ago, we were paying about $2.50 to $2.80 a gallon. The heating expenses are going up. The cost just to buy that home that you moved into is gone up. And it isn't that the value of the home has increased so much because the home still has the same thing. It still has the same two-car garage, still has the same amount of bedrooms, same bathrooms, you know, all that stuff has stayed the same. Price went up. Well, the reason why the price went up is because there's more money in supply to bid on that house. And as long as more money comes into supply through the Federal Reserve System or however it's coming in, it actually has to come through there, there is going to be a drop in interest rates when that happens, and that loosens up the economy, drives prices up, and just does. And we're going to, you know, we're on this perpetuating thing where we have to take on debt through the Federal Reserve System. We owe interest on that debt, so we have to take on even more debt in order to cover the interest on the past debt that we took, which is obviously a compounding, snowballing problem, and it becomes bigger and bigger, and it drives up inflation even greater. And as long as, like I said, as long as people are willing to take on the debt, the system works. But when people have more debt than they can afford to have, that's when we start seeing problems. That's where the economy starts to break.
Okay, and so just for the benefit of the listeners then, how would their lives be better if the dollar was reattached once again to the gold standard?
Well, one of the ways that you'd be better off is that you could actually go out and you could mine some gold out of the ground, and you'd actually have money, and it would never have to be paid back to anybody. You would actually have something that is stable, and it doesn't have that snowball compounding effect that I just talked about earlier. The neat part about it also would be is that you could put the value of your money away, and it would increase in value if you did have inflation, because the gold would go up along with inflation, along with everything else. But it really stabilized things. When you look at, I guess we got to wrap up. Let's talk a little bit more about that after the break, huh?
Okay, and when we come back, we're going to talk also about how to get into the gold market, how you can benefit from gold, and how you can get a special book that Ted is offering. We're going to give out that number. We're also going to have our GOA update, so stay tuned.
Imagine, you're on trial. The charge against you? Violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, Your Honor, I didn't know about this law. How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details, just like you do. Check out DownsizedDC.org, because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
You're tuned in to Culture Repair with Jim Babka on the GCN Radio Network.
It's the bottom of the hour, third segment of the Culture Repair Show. I'm your host, Jim Babka. Usually I'd be giving you the phone number so you could call in, but you can't do that today. I'm actually not here. But I did not leave my duty station. I made sure that we had brand new quality programming for you on this Sunday. I'm coming back from giving a speech in Illinois, and my guest right now is Ted Anderson. But before we get back to Ted, we need to take time to thank our sponsors, Gun Owners of America, www.gunowners.org, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. And at this point in the show, as you know, I usually do a GOA update. But I'm going to do something just a little bit different today because I'm eager to get back to Ted, and I know Larry Pratt, the executive director of Gun Owners, would want me to get back to Ted as quickly as possible. Larry understands how important this issue is, and in fact, Larry understands a lot of things. And the special thing I want to do today is I want to salute Larry Pratt. I have known Larry for a while now, and Larry is not only generous and gracious to people like me getting started and trying to do things like radio shows, but Larry is generous and gracious with a lot of people trying to get started and trying to do very important things. I've been able to work side by side with Larry before when we took a case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court challenging campaign finance laws, the McCain-Feingold law, obviously a very important issue. Larry understands the Constitution, and GOA, Gun Owners of America, has been there consistently, and they've stood by the Constitution, and they've spoken out on issues that other gun groups and other organizations have been afraid to touch, trying to show you that all these issues are somehow or other connected to being able to keep your gun rights and the other rights that you provide in the Bill of Rights. Larry Pratt is a great American, and Gun Owners is a fantastic organization. And this week, I want to make an appeal to you that you take the time to go to gunowners.org, and you join Gun Owners of America. It doesn't cost much to do that. A modest donation, you're part of what they're doing there. But give as generously as you can. Join Gun Owners of America because they are the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. GunOwners.org. Well, Ted, when we went to the break, we were talking about why people would be better off on the gold standard. And coincidentally, I don't know what people will hear on Sunday while they're listening to the show, but we heard a commercial during the break that I have to applaud you for. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant commercial that starts off saying currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. You do such a, in that commercial, Midas does such a good job of explaining what's at stake here. Again, as we were you kind of got interrupted, how would people be better off if they had the gold standard?
Well, we're talking about that, and the reason why the gold standard is so great is that you can rely on the fact that the currency that you've worked so hard for is stable and is not losing purchasing power. You'll be able to actually have a savings account that not only does it hold its purchasing value, but the interest that's being paid on it is actually going to be something that's a gain to you.
So does that mean inflation would go away?
Yeah, you simply could not have inflation at that time unless if somebody discovered a whole bunch of gold and silver, because you would have to actually increase the supply of gold and silver in order to have inflation. And so the only way you can do that is actually by labor. So rather than having our politicians deciding and a central banking committee, which is a bunch of private individuals trying to make a profit on us, on the backs of the citizen, you'd have you'd be limited to how well can we mine gold out of the ground, how well can we get silver out into circulation. So really what you'd have is stability effect. As a matter of fact, you could have deflation going on if you had the type of economic stimulation where people are creating more goods and services and products and so on and so forth faster than gold and silver can come in supply. The prices of items, goods, and services would go down. But you'd have the stability. You don't need to have inflation in order to get along in this economy. We don't need to take people that have worked so hard on putting away savings and only to have it stripped from them in form of taxation, which is called inflation. That really is what it is. And it would be something if it was taxation that went to the government, went to our benefit. But when we pay interest back to the Federal Reserve System, that profit doesn't go into the government. That profit goes into the Federal Reserve Bank branches, the Wells Fargo's and the Chase Manhattan City Corps and the people that own those institutions. So that's where that all goes. And so really what we've done is we've created an elite society that has been able to harness the labor force of the entire United States of America and be able to basically show up, take their purchasing power away that they've labored so hard for without even showing up at their door, because these people get to create it from nothing and they get to lend it to us, and then we're forced to pay interest. It's just downright usury. There's no question about it.
Okay, so we got a bad system, and most of us may feel trapped in it, but if I'm not mistaken, you kind of have a way out. You have a way that we can actually take advantage of the power of gold.
Oh, there's no question about it. What you do is you take and you put yourself away 20 to 25% of your portfolio into precious metals. You get some of the bullion-type gold pieces, and you get some of the numismatic-type gold pieces, and you put them away, and you salt them away, and you keep them for the long run. It's a way to keep a good, solid storage of your wealth in a place that's going to be... that's going to hold purchasing power, and when it comes time for you to retire or your kids are going into college or whatever it is, you'll have something that will have increased in value. Gold has been money for over 6,000 years in this nation. Gold started out at about $100 an ounce, actually $46 an ounce when Richard Nixon made it legal. Currently, right now, it's at $470 an ounce. There's been tremendous manipulation by the Federal Reserve System and other central banks of the world trying to keep the price of gold down through the process of gold mining selling forward their in-ground supplies of gold. Been lawsuits and everything about this particular subject, and now it seems as though they're starting to lose control. We've been watching gold. It started out at about $250 an ounce a couple of years ago, and now it's up to the 470 range. And as long as there's going to be the kind of system that we have here, we know that we're going to have to pay more for oil, we're going to have to pay more for gas, we're going to have to pay more for other commodities, and gold being one of them, it'll hold purchasing value. It's just like this great insurance policy that you can always rely on.
You provoked a question that I'm going to skip over right now. If we have time, we'll get to it later about the Federal Reserve trying to control the gold. But at the very beginning of your answer, you introduced two terms that I want to make sure our audience understands. You introduced the terms bullion and numismatic. Can you please define bullion?
Sure. Bullion gold is by definition, it's a bar or a coin that is trading specifically for its melt value. There are coins that are classified as bullion-type gold coins, would be U.S. Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, Kruger Rands. There's a long list of them. They are coins that specifically trade because of the fact that they have the commodity inside. It's a one-ounce gold coin, trades for 1 ounce of price gold, and it's a great way to be getting involved in the precious metals market. There are some limitations because of the way that the Internal Revenue Service looks at them, and there's a lot of people get into gold because they want privacy, and there's a revenue ruling, which you could probably explain how the Internal Revenue Service makes rules for us, but there's an Internal Revenue ruling called the 60-45 ruling, which was issued in 1984, which leaves some restrictions as far as trading those gold coins without having to fill out the 1099 forms and the Social Security number and all that stuff. There's a lot of people that like to have gold for private reasons. So, well, we should talk about that. I know we have another break coming up. We're just going to simply run out of time to finish this.
Numismatic.
Coins that are collectible. Coins that are rare and they have a value, intrinsic value, above and beyond just the melt value of the coin. There are some numismatic coins that are really close to bullion prices. I call those semi-numismatic coins. And there are some coins that are extremely rare and have a real high price tag on them, some of them, hundreds of thousands of dollars, even into millions of dollars, and there's people that like to buy both of those, so.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can get in on the gold market. My guest is Ted Anderson. And I'm Jim Babka, your host of the Culture Repair Show. Stay tuned.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
You're tuned in to Culture Repair with Jim Babka on the GCN Radio Network.
Segment of the Culture Repair Show, and I'm not giving out the phone number today because I'm not here. You're listening to a recorded version, but it's brand new. You're hearing it for the first time here in this November Sunday, and I'm glad to be with you. My guest has been Ted Anderson, and we've been talking about gold. Ted is the owner, I hope I'm categorizing this properly, Ted, of Midas Resources.
I do own Midas Resources. I also own the Genesis Communications Network. It just means that they're privately held companies, and I own all the shares of both of those companies.
That's fantastic. So, folks, if you didn't catch that, the boss is not only listening today, he is on the show. Ted, how does someone get into the gold market? How do they buy gold and participate?
Well, the best way to get involved in the precious metals business is, of course, contact a dealer that you can trust. One of the things that you can do right now, if you'd like, you can call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. You can consult with one of our representatives here, and they'd be happy to go over any questions that you might have. We've been in the precious metals business for this is our ninth year that I've incorporated Midas Resources, and it's been just a wonderful ride. The precious metals business is sometimes really exciting, and other times it's not so exciting. But all in all, it's been just a real good blessing to have. I've been in the business since 1980, so I was actually working with other firms, and I sort of learned the business that way, and then I came back in and decided that, hey, I could do a lot more if I just get out on my own and do it. We're talking about the Federal Reserve System. I'm such a junkie on the Federal Reserve System. I just want to read this quote. I mean, being a libertarian that you are, I really think we need to take a look at the way that we're doing things now. And here's what Jefferson said. He said, "A private central bank issuing public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of people than a standing army." He says, "We must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt." Now think about that. This is in the 1700s, and Jefferson, you know, having the foresight to know that if you had a central banking committee in there, here's what Hamilton was saying. Hamilton was the opposing party, if you will, at that time, and he says no society could succeed which did not unite the interests and credit of rich individuals with those of the state. A national debt, if not excessive, will be to us a national blessing. Well, thanks for the national blessing. Actually, he didn't get his way. Actually, Jefferson won. We didn't have the central banking thing. But, it did come. These guys are so very persistent. And
I am fond of pointing out that 1913 was kind of a disastrous year for us in America, because not only did we get the 16th Amendment, which put the income tax in place, and the 17th Amendment, which took away the restraining power of senators. No longer were they chosen by their state legislators and accountable to them back home, but they were chosen democratically so that they too could give out all the goodies, and they had the income tax to help finance it all. But we also got the Federal Reserve. All three of those things happened the same year.
Obviously, an incredible amount of manipulation. What would you say? That would be a lot of lobbying, I suppose. I know that Woodrow Wilson was given a lot of pressure in his campaign. Probably was bought out by the banking committee just to get him in there in the first place. He was not promoting New World Order or the New Deal, but he had I can't remember what his plan was. Very similar to what we have today, and obviously very instrumental in getting the Federal Reserve System put into play. It's just a terrible tragedy as far as I'm concerned. The United States citizens were relieved of the central bank that was owned by Nicholas Biddle. Actually, Nicholas Biddle was instrumental in creating a depression when the charter came up, and Andrew Jackson decided not to re-up the charter. He was just furious, and he was able to put the economy into a complete shambles. And that's what power that these central banks have right now. And these are not our elected officials. These are not our elected officials that are doing this. I mean, Alan Greenspan is appointed by the president, and obviously Bush appointed the next one, but that does not mean that they're in control of this particular economy. We do not have elected officials that control our economy, and we are saddled by debt, and the credit and the debt is going to continue to rise, and it's just going to get that much more difficult. And it makes
me... But, Ted, let me ask, you know, this is a common objection to that. You quoted Alexander Hamilton, who said that the debt would be a blessing. I mean, from the Keynesian point of view, they just say, well, we owe it to ourselves, so what's the big deal?
That's the point. We don't owe it to ourselves. If we owed it to ourselves, it would be just fine, but we don't owe it to ourselves. We owe it to a central bank. The Federal Reserve System is no more federal than Federal Express. It is owned, all the money that comes into the system and all the debt that has to be paid back does not go into the coffers of the U.S. Treasury so it can use it to buy roads and bridges. It goes into the coffers of the Federal Reserve Bank branches, and the Federal Reserve Bank branches are owned by some very prominent individuals who get to direct the direction of this country and make decisions that could kind of either make or break us. I mean, we are becoming enslaved by our deficits and our debt. And we just, you know, how many hours do you want to work a year just in order to break even and then come ahead and possibly buy something for yourself? This is what's going on. We labor for them now. Well, this should not be this way. They shouldn't be able to lend something that, I mean, the U.S. Treasury actually makes the money. You can go down to the Bureau of Engraving and see them make it, but they have to actually take that and truck it over to the Federal Reserve System in order to put the stamp of approval on it for it to actually become currency. And then they have the audacity to pay us back in the same face that we brought them. So in other words, it's like the banana farmer labors this whole year, brings over the bananas, and then the packing house pays the farmer in bananas. It's ridiculous. It's a bad system. We're getting cheated.
Okay, well, the phone number I will give out today is the phone number for Midas Resources. They're willing to help you get into the gold market, 1-800-686-2237. As we mentioned earlier, they have a free book they want to share with you called Oh Yeah, and you can get that by calling 1-800-686-2237.
If you're an internet political activist, pay close attention. The Federal Election Commission, FEC for short, is about to make your life difficult. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedEC.org. Last September, a federal judge ruled, quote, to permit an entire class of political communications to be unregulated would permit an evasion of campaign finance laws. That means if you forward a campaign press release using an email list, post a campaign ad on your blog, or link to a candidate's website from your homepage, then you may well be required to register with the government and file complicated reports. You'll probably need a lawyer, too. And what the FEC won't tell you is that none of these rules will apply to MSNBC or the New York Times website. This shouldn't happen in America. You have First Amendment rights. Visit DownsizedDC.org to free the Internet. A one-sentence law can stop this unconstitutional insanity. That's DownsizedDC.org.
You're tuned in to Culture Repair with Jim Babka on the GCN Radio Network.
Final segment of the Culture Repair Show, so let's get right into it. My guest here has been Ted Anderson with Midas Resources. And as we went to the break, we said you could call 1-800-686-2237 to get gold advice and to learn how you can get in the gold market and begin to protect yourself. Ted, you guys are offering a book called Oh Yeah. You want to tell folks what's in that book?
Yeah, it's a real great book. It was put together. We're talking about the Federal Reserve System. Well, the Federal Reserve System came out in 1913 to create the Roaring Twenties, and they also created the Depression of the 1930s by tightening the system. There was some newfound power, and they didn't quite know how to use it yet. It just goes into quotes. You have quotes here from James Davis, Andrew Mellon, John D. Rockefeller, President Hoover, all of them trying to convince people why they should be getting into the market right in the 1920s while everything's going up, and then started tipping off. And you wouldn't believe some of the things that these people are saying. John D. Rockefeller, everybody knows that. Believing that the fundamental conditions of a country are sound and that there is nothing wrong with the business situation and warrant destruction of the values that are taking place in the exchanges during the past week. He's just talking about the stock market going down, saying everything's great. You know, like Anaconda Copper went from $95 to $12.50. American Telephone and Telegraph went from $240 to $121. Chrysler went from $35 to $11 a share. Montgomery Ward went from $66 to $8 a share. The Sears and Roebuck went from $105 to $31. If you want to have a little history lesson so you don't get caught in the same mistake again, get this book because it'll show you what happened then, what people were saying, and then you can kind of compare it to what people are saying today. It's a great review. A place called Viking Press put this together. They published it in 1931. I don't know why they don't have it on the bookshelves today. They certainly should. We have republished it. We're giving it away for free. All you have to do is call 1-800-686-2237, ask for the book, Oh Yeah! It's Oh Yeah, O-E-Y-E-A-H, with a question mark and then an exclamation point. And it really is. I just love the book. It gives you a real good synopsis of what happened then, and then you can just watch what's going on now. Quite frankly, it's my kids that I'm concerned about now. I mean, I'm 43 years old. I have a half a life left now. I'm middle-aged. I don't have, you know, this thing keeps on snowballing out of hand. It's going to be terrible, but it's not. It's my kids and their kids are going to have to pay more and more and more of their labor away in order just to be, you know, in a house and having food and whatever it is it takes. I mean, we all seen it. Mom and dad are working now. What do we have, mom and dad and the kids working? I mean, how many people are you going to add to the payroll in order to make things happen?
It's really a struggle. I know that from raising a young family myself and trying to keep my wife at home. Last question. We got about 25, maybe 20 seconds for this. There's other types of ways of getting into gold that are popping up too, e-gold and the Liberty Dollar. What do you think of those? About 15 seconds.
I tell you, you can go ahead and get involved with that, but just nothing replaces actually having the gold yourself.
Okay. And folks, you can get that gold by going to Midas Resources. They've got this book, Oh Yeah, that they're offering that you can get as well. All you have to do to get it and to get some great gold advice is to talk to this wonderful gold dealer, 1-800-686-2237. Ted, thank you very much for being with me.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, this has been the Culture Repair Show, and I have not left my duty station, even though I am on my way back from Illinois as you're listening to this. And I will be back next week with more news that you can use and unique commentary here on the Genesis Communications Network. Bye-bye. Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.